podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts. My name is Az. I don't think I've ever done a live solo stream before. I normally do the solo streams pre-recorded, but it was getting late in the day and I didn't want to do the edits, basically. So I thought I would just stream it and just see how it goes. Hopefully it's all right. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you've all enjoyed all the, you know, cup games and the friendly that Barcelona and Man City had yesterday and haven't been sort of panicking too much. Doesn't look like there's any huge injuries or blows. As the Madison isn't there for Leicester. He's a doubt now for the Chelsea match. I don't think there's been anything else, which is kind of too terrible. So hopefully that kind of continues into the weekend. Hello everyone in the chat. Keep me company as I kind of do this, as I kind of ramble and waffle on about my own team and my own selections. I've got the Fantasy Football Scout members area open as well. So if you want me to talk about any players and stats or any comparisons, that kind of thing, then I can do that too. Otherwise, I'll just talk about my own team, who is on my watch list, and things like that. And my kind of plans, because I've got a couple of issues. My team is looking healthy. I think the four-point hit I took last week helped. But there's definitely a few things I can do to kind of make my team a little bit better. But I am debating holding the transfer. I don't know. We'll see. Just before we do that, let's just talk about the sponsor of this video, which is Spitch. If you watch a lot of football, you might have seen Spitch advertised by a certain Jurgen Klopp, smiling away. You've also got Harry Redknapp, who's kind of endorsing it as well. It's essentially a new fantasy football game that's just come out. So it's similar to FPL, except for there's some rule changes to kind of make it sort of stand out a bit. So there's a free season mode. It's completely free to play. You can join any time, even though you've missed kind of the start of the season. It's the best 5 scores you get all season out of all the 38 games. So you could effectively join right near the end of the season and still win if you have a good last couple of game weeks. There's also different paid for modes as well, which obviously a form of gambling. So if you are interested in that, go check it out. But do check out gamblerware.co.uk for all the facts about gambling. And obviously it's only for 18 plus. I mean, if you can afford to do so. It's a really interesting game though. I mean, look at the kind of the points. The points are very different to FPL. So you get points for pretty much everything. You're looking at, you know, even taking a corner, making a cross, unsuccessful passes are penalised, all this kind of stuff. And if we actually look at the top scoring team, for last week, it's really interesting because you've got players in there who you wouldn't normally think would do that well. I mean, look, you've got 3 Everton defenders at the back, you know, despite a 1-1 draw. Zaha in there with 2 goals, actually got less than Mitrovic, who just got the 1 goal. Vardy got minus 14. So this guy won sort of €306 by doing this. So there's going to be a lot of people who just pick the kind of general FPL players, but if you can kind of work out the scoring and work out which players are really heavily rewarded in this, you might be able to make some money from the app. So do go and check it out. There's a QR code on the screen right now. If you screenshot that right now, you can just go into your photos and then it'll come with a little barcode and then you click on that. There is a Fantasy Football Scout Community League as well, which you can join. The links of that are in the description. So do check that out. And there's monthly prizes that will be in that as well. So loads of good stuff. Check out Spitch if you're interested. Right, let's have a look at my game week 3. 53 points for me. Wasn't too bad. It was a red arrow, which is not nice when you're 3 million in the world and you get a red arrow. It's effectively a grey arrow, really. I think I went from like 2.999 million or something down to 3.042, something like that. So not a huge drop, and I did take the minus 4. It was Ward and goal with 1. Trent, Cancelo, James, like so many people, all blanking. You know, you're paying that much money for these kind of premium defenders. You want to see a bit kind of more from them. So definitely a bit disappointing with that. I bought in Zinchenko, who I was happy with. I thought he had another fantastic game. As soon as I bought him in, I was kind of thinking, oh, was this the right move? You know, Tierney's knocking about, Xhaka's playing well. You know, are we going to see him in maybe kind of, you know, rotate a little bit or anything? But, you know, I watched the extended highlights of that game and Zinchenko is such an elite player. He's going to be so important for Arsenal and everything they're about. So I'm not worried about him at all going forward. I think he's cemented his spot in that team, whether it's the centre midfield role and Xhaka does eventually sort of make way, or whether he carries on playing at left back. I don't think it matters. He's too important to everything Arteta's trying to build there. So, yeah, really happy with that move. And I think, you know, people with Ramsdale, for example, have surely got to be looking at someone like Zinchenko and thinking, oh, maybe he's the one I want, because he's getting forward. He could be playing in midfield. Ramsdale isn't making many saves. His baseline bonus is low. So, yeah, I definitely prefer Zinchenko for anyone kind of wondering which Arsenal defender to get. Perisic came in with 12. I mean, Perisic was an error, I think. I still stand by the fact he was an error in game week one. You know, missed the first two games, came in the third game and got the points. He is a problem for me, though, and I'll talk a bit more about him a bit later. I know a lot of people are interested in him now, a lot of people are buying him, but I'm just, it's a headache. It's a headache every week as to whether he's going to start or not. So I was surprised to see so many people buying him ahead of game week three. I know we were all pretty sure that he was going to start, or at least the signs indicated we were. But if I had the choice now, if I was wildcarding now, there's no way I'd start with Perisic. I know the upside's high. He is, you know, he's going to be fun. He is going to frustrate. And, you know, when he does play, he's not playing as a left back. He's playing as almost a striker at times. But I just worry with the fixture congestion the way it is, with the Champions League starting, it's going to be too much of a minefield. So he's probably not going to go anywhere for me until I do wildcard, probably in game week 8 or 9, but I certainly wouldn't be having him if I was wildcarding early, like my illustrious Black Box co-host. If you haven't checked out Black Box last night, do that to see where Mark's head is at with his wildcard. And do check out the member stream tomorrow night as well, because Mark has made some changes already, which will probably surprise no one. In midfield, I went for Salah captain with 8. I was lucky to get anything from him. Liverpool, obviously terrible. I'm sure there's people in the chat who you know that I've been quite critical of Man U lately. I mean, I think I have every right to be critical of them, especially in the last kind of, you know, 8-9 months. They've been absolutely terrible, but best performance I've seen them in a long, long time, and Liverpool really, really poor. And I guess the question is, do United remain good now? Are their assets going to be options for us? Are we going to see Martial and Rashford, maybe even Fernandes, come into the fore? Defensively, I don't think we're going to go there. We want to see some clean sheets from them first. But Malacia was playing really well. You know, Maguire's gone, and Varane and Martinez look a bit more assured. I don't think that the United defence is going to be an issue. It's going to be an option for us, but certainly maybe in the attack, there might be some options to consider. So we might see some people jumping on them, you know, quite quickly. They've got Southampton next, which is a good fixture. We kind of see how that goes. But I mean, the bigger question is what to do with Liverpool assets, really. I mean, at the start of the season, 3 Liverpool looked like an absolute must. You know, I'm now seeing, you know, people losing faith in Robertson, like I did, for example, and not sort of going crazy to get that third Liverpool spot back in, despite the fixtures being good. I'm seeing a few people considering dropping Trent as well. Trent's stats are still really nice. He's putting in more crosses than he ever has done before. He's shooting more than he ever has done before. His XGI, his expected goal involvement, is down on previous seasons, but that is a kind of a more of a kind of symptom of how sort of poorly Liverpool have been playing. I think, generally speaking, he still looks up for it. I mean, defensively culpable, don't get me wrong, but attacking wise, he's looked really good. So I wouldn't be selling him just yet. But I think if you've got Robertson, you sort of have to hold him for this Bournemouth game. But I think you long term, or at least in the short to medium term, the medium to long term, you'll have to be looking to kind of get rid of him. Salah's a hold for me, though, and likely going to be my captain this week. You know, it's such a good sort of game for him against Bournemouth. I've actually got some stats on Salah versus Bournemouth just here. He has scored 8 in 6 versus Bournemouth, 8 goals in 6, and has been directly involved in 27 goals in 30 Premier League starts against newly promoted sides. So his record against the new pro sides is just absolutely ridiculous. And he's been finding a way despite Liverpool playing poorly. I think a lot of it depends on, you know, what team Liverpool set out with. Obviously, Fabinho's going to come back in. He only had the knock and he came in kind of towards the end of the second half. So he's going to give them a bit more control, hopefully boost their clean sheet prospects a little bit more. But yeah, we want to see them sort of gelling a bit more in attack. And like I said to Mark last night, a lot of them don't look fit. They don't look up for it sort of already this season. But Bournemouth, I think, is the perfect game, because Bournemouth are going to sit back and invite pressure. They don't really have the pace to trouble them, like we've seen with Zaha, like we've seen with the United players and things like that. So I think we're going to see a response from Liverpool. They'll win that game sort of fairly comfortably, I think. Elsewhere, De Bruyne, yeah, the De Bruyne versus Haaland experiment sort of continues. another game where there wasn't too much in it between them. I think De Bruyne is ahead of him in terms of points this season, which is kind of what you want for paying that extra 0.5. I'm now seeing a few people sort of turning around, you know, Pep's comments about Haaland and saying, you know, he's not going to start every match and all that kind of stuff. I'm now finally seeing a few people saying, oh, well, maybe De Bruyne is the one to go for and not Haaland. Well, that's what I was saying at the start of the season. I kind of lost my way a little bit after his first performance and things. But overall, I think I'm pretty happy to have De Bruyne. I think, like I was saying last night, if you offered me the straight swap, if you said, OK, you can have a free transfer and you can take De Bruyne out for Haaland, I would probably do it. Still, I still think Haaland is the better option. We'll talk a bit about his XGI in a minute. It's absolutely ridiculous, despite only having those 8 touches against Bournemouth. I think he's going to hit a hat-trick soon, and you know, all the doubt, any doubts, any small doubts that anyone has about him are going to be kind of dispelled. It's just whether he's going to be kind of the most captain player in that week, because obviously with Salah around and a bit of sort of mistrust in Pep might mean that people don't all sort of climb in it. But I think Forest at home is going to be interesting, because is he going to start with the Champions League looming, or is he going to miss out? If he does start that game, that could be the one where he sees a really, really big haul. So yeah, really interesting. Hi to Ryan Houliston. Oi, oi, the Azman. How's you? The Azman. That's like an American pie nickname. I quite like it. Hi to Taylor Johnson. All my defenders will get clean sheets this week except Arsenal. That'd be nice. I think I agree. I think it should do on paper. I can see Fulham scoring against Arsenal. I think Mitrovic is going to be too much to handle for Arsenal. I think it's going to be too much to handle for a lot of teams. He's been absolutely brilliant. Rosh Watch heard Perisic is injured in training. We won't really know until the team news. It's, you know, that'll be coming sort of tomorrow. There are rumours of a knock, aren't there? But we'll kind of have to wait and see on that. I would advise not to panic until then. I've got Pereira and he can come in anyway. Tyler says, good afternoon, Az. Good afternoon, Tyler. And Catherine Lawrence, it feels like Jesus versus Salah captain modes every week. Yeah, it does. And when you add Haaland into that as well, it's really tricky sort of between the three of them. I didn't think Jesus would be that kind of option for us so quickly in the season, or if he did at all, really. I thought, you know, it might take a bit of time to settle. It's a new team, new surroundings. He hasn't really been historically that kind of great goal-getter. But yeah, started the season really, really strongly. So he's definitely a captain option every week, I think. And don't let his ownership kind of put you off. I know it's sort of over 80% now, but if you think he's going to get the most points in a given week, then go for it. He's a great option. So yeah, between those three, it's going to be really interesting. Let's take a look at my team then, ahead of game week 4. Is Ward in goal? Put the red arrow right round him straight away. He's a huge problem for me, really, because I've lost value in a couple of players like Mount, because I've had to buy players quite late like Martinelli and Zinchenko. That sort of 0.5 to upgrade him has disappeared with the team I've got. So I've got 0.2 in the bank and no really obvious way of upgrading Ward. It's Chelsea away next, then it's United, I think. He's just really, really poor, and Leicester are the second worst defensive side in the league. You know, expected to concede 2 goals a game. He's had triple one-pointers. I thought he'd at least make some saves. He's been absolutely rubbish. So a goalkeeper replacement is definitely on my radar. I'm looking at Sanchez, of course. Brighton have been brilliant to start the season. He's even been making saves as well, which is encouraging, and the fixtures are just absolutely fantastic for them. I like Raya as well, arguably in the kind of short term, before we go up to sort of game week 8, game week 9. I think Brentford's fixtures are a little bit better, but I think Brighton are a better side than Brentford generally, and that includes in defence. So I think I'd probably lean towards Sanchez out of those two. One of the reasons why I'm looking at kind of, you know, waiting a little bit, though, is because the goalkeeper I really want is Dean Henderson. I think Nottingham Forest look like a kind of a Burnley side in which the Forest goalkeeper is just going to hoover up bonus points. He's going to hoover up save points as well. And from game week 6, you're looking at Bournemouth, Leeds and Fulham. Three really, really good sides. Three really good opponents for them. So, yeah, should be. That's my door going. It's Amazon. They're going to have to wait. So I kind of want to wait until game week 6. The only issue with waiting until game week 6 is that only probably gives me sort of 3 game weeks. And it does feel like maybe I should move a bit earlier. I could downgrade Mount, for example, put the money into the goalkeeper. I'm looking at Mount to Gundogan potentially this week. But the trouble is, Mount has got Leicester at home, who, like I said, are sort of conceding so many chances. And Chelsea have been poor, but if I'm looking at the opponent, I think Chelsea are definitely going to score in that game, and selling Mount is an issue. I also am going off Gundogan a little bit just because of this fixture sort of congestion that's coming. Is he definitely going to start every match? I know he's been made captain, and quite a lot of people are talking about that, but the kind of concern with that is, you know, we see these captains appointed all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to start. Noble was the captain of West Ham, for example, and doesn't necessarily mean he's going to start every game. So Pep likes to rotate. He's got Calvin Phillips there. He's got Bernardo Silva, who can play in that spot when Grealish is back. So I do worry that Gundogan could be a bit of a headache a bit further down the line. So I really want to get rid of Ward, but at the moment, I think I might keep Mount just for one more week and kind of assess with 2-3s. So yeah, bit of an annoying one, because I really don't want Ward going forward, but there he is. Defence wise, I mean, Trent, Cancelo, and James, there's no issues with those three. You know, I can see why people are moving out of big at the back, maybe taking some of their funds away from these three and going sort of heavier up top. I still think that they're great value. I still think, you know, 7 million for Cancelo, 6 for James, you know, 7.5 for Trent. I still think they're going to be right up there. And the stats aren't bad. I mean, Cancelo's role is maybe a little bit different inside this team, but he's helped by the fact that I don't want any of the other Man City defenders. I definitely don't want Walker. I really just don't like that move at all. I think his place in that team isn't as secure as people think it is. He looks off it to me. A bad performance against Palace, you know, with Zaha terrorising him, and he could be out of the team for a little while. So I'm not happy with that. Diaz is coming in and out. Stones, Laporte, we don't know who's going to start out of those. So I like Cancelo just for that guarantee that he's going to play. James is fine. I mean, obviously you want to see him at right wing back. We're not going to see that this weekend because Koulibaly's out. But, you know, even at centre back, he can still bomb forward and do some damage. But we want to see him sort of playing in his favoured role. And I think Chelsea just need to get him there, because they're struggling to create chances. They're struggling to, you know, to get their players into the game. So, yeah, I think James will eventually just nail down a kind of a right wing back role. And they are going to sign Fofana, right? It's going to be Chilwell, Fofana, Silva and Koulibaly, and then Cucurella filling in for one of Silva or Chilwell, I'd imagine. Unless Cucurella is just the upgrade to Chilwell, and then Chilwell's going to have to share minutes. So yeah, I'm not worried about James. I think he's still a fine pick. Zinchenko, like I mentioned, was really impressed with him. No worries about him at all. He's definitely the Arsenal defender that I'd want, and the one I'd want to go for. Perisic, I've got an orange one on, just because I don't think I'm going to be able to sell him anytime soon, because I've got to deal with this goalkeeper thing. I mean, one thing I could do is, if Mount does perform against Leicester, and I do want to keep him for Southampton because the fixtures are good, Southampton, West Ham, Fulham, it could be tempting to move Perisic down to a 5 million, and that gives me enough to upgrade Ward. So I could go to Trippier, for example, but then next week Trippier's got Liverpool, but then the fixtures are quite good. Or I could look at another 5. I could even go down to a Brighton defender, potentially. So there's kind of options kind of around that I can kind of look at if I do want to sell Perisic. It's amazing I'm talking about selling Perisic if everyone's looking at buying him at the moment. It's yeah, it's very strange. In midfield, I've got Salah captain. I'm happy with Salah. You know, not like Mark, I'm not even thinking about losing him. You know, if he can be getting this many points, even when Liverpool are absolutely terrible, I think what he's going to be like when Liverpool sort of, you know, find their way again. Same with De Bruyne. Like I've always said, De Bruyne is going to be in my team until at least game week 8 and the wild card. I won't be making any panicked moves to move him to Haaland, even though I do want Haaland. And, you know, I think given the rotation that's coming potentially for City, I think De Bruyne is the best asset to have. So I am happy with it. But yeah, like I said, I do think Haaland's got a big haul coming, very big haul coming, which isn't the most expert opinion ever because it's pretty bloody obvious, but I still think it's going to happen, and it's important that people don't panic too much and, you know, wildcard him out and that kind of stuff. Mount, I've got a red one on. He's only red. He's just been awful. Yeah, I mean, Chintan Charles says Mount to someone. That's kind of how it feels. It almost feels like maybe moving him to Rodrigo, moving him to Gundogan, moving him to Foden, moving him to anyone might be my best interest. It's just because that Leicester fixture is so good. And I think with Madison out as well, they're going to lose that control in the midfield as well that he brings when he kind of drops deep. You know, losing a key player like him. Fofana's, you know, not going to play again. They've got so many issues. The Ward's not good enough. I think Chelsea are going to have chances. And I've got to hope that Mount can at least be on the end of them. I mean, the last game he was busy and got around, and actually it was a really good save from Melier to yeah, to stop him. But in other games I've seen, he's had few chances. He hasn't looked on it. His shooting's been off. Hasn't been playing well. So yeah, I'm hoping to see something from him against Leicester. If I do keep him, I might end up still selling him potentially for Gundogan. But yeah, we'll see. At the moment, I'm leaning towards the hold. Then obviously I've got that's the wrong one. Where's there you go? Martinelli. He's got a green circle around him as well. I'm just impressed with him. Again, thought he was excellent. The link up with him and Jesus is first rate. So yeah, he's obviously not going anywhere. And you know, the pricing of him was absolutely ridiculous. I think the pricing of Martinelli and Jesus has kind of ruined the start of the season a bit because they're just far too cheap. I think if Jesus was 9.5 and Martinelli was 7.5, I think people would have quite a lot of different variety in their size because it kind of gives you a decision to make. But realistically, going forward, you can't really be without those two. So yeah, it's kind of not as fun as I'd like it to be. So yeah, he's not going anywhere, and neither is Jesus as well. He's just absolutely excellent, absolutely electric, doing everything you want, passing the eye test, stats fantastic, fixtures great, beautiful. If you haven't got him, like Mark didn't, and you have an easy way of getting him, that's why wildcards are there. So I think Jesus and Marcelli are probably the only no-brainer decisions that we have in our side. I think you could make a case for anyone else in my team to leave, for example, but I think Marcelli and Jesus, there's no escaping them. Second, look at the watch list. So these are the sort of the players that I'm looking at. I've added in new players in green. It's sorted by XGI non-penalty per 90. Neco Williams is right at the top, right up there. Cucurella as well. I think they've both increased actually a little bit since the week before. I mean, Neco Williams is still, you know, after three games, 0.32 XGI non-penalty per 90 is fantastic. So if you've got an attacking return from him every three games, for example, you'd be absolutely kind of delighted by that. I've got Diaz in there. I think Diaz is on the ropes though. If he's going to get dropped and then playing that kind of friendly, you've got to think that maybe his place isn't that secure. I look at other players on this defense. I mean, look at Trippier. I really like the look of Trippier. Great goal from him. I really, really like Newcastle this season. I think they've made some excellent signings again. You know, Isak's coming in, which is going to be really exciting. Only boost someone like Trippier. Hopefully, you can get more assists. So really like him, really got my eyes on him, definitely in the wild card, if not before. I've added Saliba in. I did have him in game week one, and then I dropped him for game week two because I was a bit worried about Ben White, and then he scored that kind of wonder goal. An XGI non-penalty per 90 of 0.04 over the season. Don't get him in expecting, you know, rockets every week, but it was a very well taken goal. And I've got Duncan there as well, 0.03, which is surprising given that we've got a lot of creative players in the side, you know, especially from corners and free kicks, and he's just not getting any kind of service really, or at least they haven't been able to find him in the box yet. But I do think 4.5 is too cheap for Dunk. So if you are looking at ways of tapping into you know, the Brighton defence that isn't Sanchez, Dunk is by far the one to go for. So I'm surprised not to see him in more teams, actually, because I think, you know, going for a Ray or a Henderson, having Dunk in there, I guess Dunk hasn't got that kind of sex appeal that some of the more attacking defenders have. I never thought I'd say that. But I do think he's a great solid option, and he's going to do a lot of people well if you do get him. So yeah, definitely don't write him off. In midfield, I've had Rodrigo and Gross in there for a while. Their XG non-penalty was both over one last week. It has dropped. So, you know, it's even though Rodrigo got the goals and Gross got another assist, it's not sustainable for them to be this high. I've always said that anything over 0.6 is like absolutely incredible, and you should be basically getting those players in immediately. Difficult judge after three game weeks, but we have a few of those already. Rodrigo Gross and Zaha as well, 0.66. A lot of people are looking at him. Gundogan and Foden aren't far off either, though, 0.54 and 0.52. So Foden is an interesting one. You know, he didn't pass again to Haaland. This was a much tougher chance, but again, Pep wasn't happy with him. You've got to think he's still going to carry on playing, and I'm not seeing a huge amount of investment in him. I think it's difficult. I mean, the reason I'd go for Gundogan would be to take that money and put it into Ward. But if I'm picking out of the two, I would probably still suggest you find that 0.4 extra and put it into Foden if you can. I think he's probably got a big haul in him again, like he got kind of the other week. And it might have been even more if he hadn't been subbed off at half time. I've also added Harrison in as well. Obviously, Rodrigo is the kind of the player that a lot of people are going to get. because he's scoring all the goals. But I've been really impressed with Harrison as well. I think he's created the most chances in the league so far this season. He looks absolutely brilliant, back to how he was in kind of the first season. He's a little bit cheaper now as well, and his role in the team is pretty much assured as well. When Bamford's back, there are some concerns that Rodrigo could be dropped, or at least plays quite a bit deeper, whereas we wouldn't expect to see Harrison's sort of role and position change too much. So someone to look at, I think, Harrison, if you are interested in Leeds, and if you may be looking for a placement for someone around the kind of 6 million mark. Up front, I've added in Haaland and Kane. Yeah, two quite big names. Look at Haaland's XGI non-penalty per 90, 0.81. I mean, it's only a little bit less than Rodrigo. I mean, who'd be saying that, though, that Haaland would be doing less than Rodrigo? But 0.81 is so high. And the thing is, I can't really see that being unsustainable. I think he's just going to continue to get so many chances every game. And we know what a clinical finisher is. We know how much he can bully defenders. It's just those kind of minutes around him. But you know, when the stats are like that, even at 11.7, it's just a great price for him. But it'd be really to see what happens with the kind of Champions League rotation as well. So yeah, let's kind of, are people going to captain him every week? I think that helps me not owning him, for example, because I don't think people are. I think they're going to sort of look at Jesus and look at Salah and think, okay, these guys are going to play every week. It would be very Pep, though, just to carry on playing Haaland every week, though, and subbing him off at 67 minutes. And then the fixture's so good, so many home games on the horizon, he would then become an option. So I think the games around the first Champions League game are going to be really interesting, the game before and the game after, to kind of see what happens. It might be that Haaland doesn't even play the first Champions League game. Maybe he plays Foden false nine in that. You know, they might not need you depending on the draw that they get. So yeah, we'll kind of see. And I've also had a Kane in as well. I've been really impressed with Kane so far. XGI non-penalty per 90 of 0.63. That's high, back into kind of the elite territory as well. I was all on Son at the start, but I think now if you're picking, you go for Kane. He's 0.6 cheaper. He's not going to get subbed, not going to get rotated with Richarlison there. Kulusevski might, you know, end up right wing back or subbed out or anything, and hasn't actually been that good apart from the first game. So I think Kane is the one if you're backing on Spurs. They've got good fixtures. I mean, Forest, West Ham, Fulham in the next three, and then Leicester. It's only that City game in game 7, which is a bit of a concern. Steve says City's in a group with Sevilla, Dortmund and Copenhagen. Okay. Sevilla and Dortmund? Interesting. Okay, yes. I mean, that's a group they should win sort of pretty comfortably. So, we'll kind of see kind of what goes with that. I think that's about it from me. Thank you all for watching and listening. We are heading up to 80,000 subscribers on the channel, which is amazing. You can see on the graphic, I've got 73.1. I really want to get to 80,000. So if you have enjoyed this, do subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Do like this video as well. Tomorrow is another busy day. Friday, if you're listening to the podcast, we've got Q&A, myself and Sam. We've got team news, myself and Neil. And then Andy and Mark will be doing their weekly members video. So if you're not signed up to be a premium member, do that. And then you can watch that as well and see what Mark's wildcard is looking at. Guys, thank you so much for watching, and I will see you all very soon.